Atlantis is back on Earth to stay. The Phoenix Mars lander is officially off the assets list, and Ray LaHood gives his committee its marching orders. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, May 27th, 2010. NASA's mission STS-132, and with it the career of Space Shuttle Atlantis, came to a close yesterday morning at 8:48 a.m. Eastern Time with a greaser at Kennedy Space Center. This mission delivered the Russian-built mini-research Module 1 to the International Space Station. There are only two shuttle missions left now before the fleet's retirement is complete, and the program won't be wrapped up by the end of the fiscal year either, on September 30th. Discovery is on deck for mission STS-133, now scheduled for a September 16th launch, and will deliver the Express Logistics Carrier 4, a multi-purpose logistics module, and critical spare components to the ISS. Along on that mission will be R2, short for Robonaut 2, described by NASA as the first human-like robot in space. That's as opposed to R2-D2, which was nothing like a human. R2, the real one, will be left at the ISS to become a permanent inhabitant. The final shuttle mission, STS-134, flown by Endeavour, will deliver an Express Logistics Carrier 3 and an Alpha Magnetic Spectrometer to the ISS. NASA's launch manifest lists the date on that one only as mid-November. Another NASA vehicle has been officially declared retired, but in its short lifetime, it sent back data that wowed scientists. The Phoenix Mars lander was the robot that found evidence of perchlorates in Martian soil, suggesting that the chemistry was there for microbes to live in thin water films on particles of soil. The finding turned expectations for the possibility of life on Mars upside down. That lander was designed for a 90-day mission and was not expected to withstand hundreds of pounds of carbon dioxide ice that build up over the harsh Martian winter. A new image transmitted by NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter shows signs of severe ice damage to the lander's solar panels, and attempts to communicate with the lander have failed in more than 200 overflights by the orbiter. Phoenix landed on Mars in May of 2008 and exceeded its 90-day life expectancy over the following summer, returning data for a total of 5 months. The lifespan of the probe would likely be the cause of high-fiving in the halls in Pasadena, if not for the impossibly high expectations created by Spirit and Opportunity, the twin Mars rovers. They landed on the Red Planet over 6 years ago, also tasked with 90-day missions, and while Spirit is currently hibernating due to low batteries, they're both still alive and kicking. At the opening session of the Future of Aviation Advisory Committee meeting on Tuesday, U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood charged members of the committee with helping to ensure that the U.S. aviation industry remains vital, competitive, sustainable, and safe. Quote, "I have high hopes and high expectations for what this committee of diverse experts can accomplish on behalf of the aviation industry, its workforce, and consumers," unquote. The committee is expected to meet 5 times over the coming year to develop recommendations for LaHood and will focus on ensuring aviation safety, ensuring a world-class aviation workforce, balancing the industry's competitiveness and viability, securing stable funding for aviation systems, and addressing environmental challenges and solutions. Up next on ANN, an important detail leaks from a crash investigation. The FAA warns users of skis and tundra tires, and the Navy wants to clear up any rumors about the F-35C. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 27th. I'm Paul Plack. As investigators probe last month's crash of the Polish president's official plane in Russia, Polish envoy to the investigating committee Edmund Klitsch has confirmed to Bloomberg that General Andrzej Blasik, commander of the Polish Air Force, was in the cockpit a few minutes before the plane clipped a birch tree on approach to Smolensk in a thick fog. The fatality list included President Lech Kaczynski, his wife Maria, and 94 others representing a who's who of Polish political, military, and banking officials. They were in Russia for the 70th anniversary of the Katyn massacre, in which 22,000 Polish POWs were killed by Stalin's secret police in 1940. Conspiracy theorists had wondered aloud about Russian government interference with aeronautical decision-making. But speaking on TVN television in Poland, Klitsch said of the Polish commander's presence in the cockpit that while there was no direct pressure to land placed on the pilot, quote, everyone would feel pressure in such a situation, unquote. The FAA has published a SAFO, or Safety Alert for Operators, in which it warns that adapting tundra tires or skis to an aircraft designed for smaller wheel and tire combinations can load the structure in ways unanticipated by design engineers. Specifically, the FAA notes at least 32 documented accidents caused by failure of the landing gear leg near the attachment holes of the axle. Based on statistical extrapolation, the agency estimates about another 15 accidents will occur on aircraft with leaf spring gear, having tundra tire, ski, and wheel ski modifications, producing a potential risk for serious or fatal injuries to occur. Among the measures recommended are inspection of the area of the axle attachment holes for cracks, corrosion, and any other defect that might induce failure, including, at minimum, the use of a dye-penetrant method of non-destructive testing with the aid of magnification, or other methods, techniques, and practices acceptable to the FAA. You can find the other recommendations in the text version of this story, dated May 26th, at aero-news.net. Navy Rear Admiral Michael C. Manazier spoke to reporters this week to, quote, completely dispel the rumor that the Navy is soft on F-35C, unquote. That's the aircraft carrier variant of the Joint Strike Fighter, and the Navy's announced decision to buy 124 more FA-18s was interpreted in some quarters as a shift away from the F-35. But Manazier says that while the FA-18 is a great airplane and has been made much more capable through upgrades, the current G model has maxed out its fourth-generation airframe. Quote, we need to move into the F-35C to realize our vision of tactical air coming off of carriers. We're completely committed to the F-35C, unquote. But the 35 won't enter service till 2016. The Navy intends to fill the gap with additional FA-18s purchased through 2013, and the Admiral says the first deployments of the F-35C will be in mixed fleets alongside the older Super Hornets. Still ahead, a novel LSA project calls it quits. Sikorsky's X-2 gets closer to a record, and maybe some government lists are okay. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, May 27th. I'm Paul Plack. A shakeout in the LSA market has seemed inevitable, and the recession may be doing the shaking. Aero News has learned that one of the more interesting LSA development projects, the Saddler Vampire, is now on the block for pennies on the dollar. The plane evolved from an award-winning ultralight debuted by Bill Saddler at Oshkosh in 1982. It was then morphed into a military fighter prototype, only to return as an LSA said to be capable of plus or minus 6 Gs, with folding wings and other novel features. The base price was set at under $100,000, but adding options took the airplane up into the six-figure range. VP David Littlejohn says there were lots of tire kickers, but no deposits placed in escrow, which left investors with cold feet. The company, which has been based in Roseburg, Oregon, has suspended operations and is listed for sale at $50,000 or best offer. That includes one complete prototype airplane, parts for four more, and a low-time Jabiru 3300 flat 6. Find out more at www.sadleraircraft.com and click blog for the official statement and instructions to the interested. Many of the big, fantastic-sounding achievements in aviation these days happen as a result of military contracts or DARPA programs. But in the helicopter world, several companies are doing pioneering work on their own dime these days. One of the more interesting is the Sikorsky X2 technology demonstrator. Sikorsky said back in 2005 the machine's goal was to demonstrate a suite of technologies which would modernize the coaxial helicopter and allow record-breaking 250-knot speeds without the loss of important helicopter attributes, such as good low-speed handling and hover performance. The company also wanted to do it with less noise. At the time, it sounded a little pie-in-the-sky-ish, but the company says that on Monday, the demonstrator reached 181 knots, completed the third of four test phases, and is now headed to 250-knot territory. The X2 uses a pair of rigid, counter-rotating rotors augmented by a pusher prop. And finally today, civil liberty advocates are upset with a revelation that the U.S. Transportation Security Administration is keeping a database on people who lose their tempers in screening lines, even those who make snide comments to screeners. USA Today cites an internal TSA document in reporting the database includes names, date of birth, social security, and other personal data on not only the aggressors, but also on victims and even those who may have witnessed an incident. The database can include a note on whether a passenger made remarks about death or violence, showed a real or fake weapon, or made an aggressive display of anger, such as punching a wall. You know what? Personally, I have to confess that I'm a fan of behavioral profiling. I'm not particularly upset about the idea that people with anger management issues could be kept off my flight, and I have to admit that, just for a moment, I even wondered if this couldn't be expanded to people who talk loudly on cell phones, don't bathe before boarding airplanes, or don't discipline their kids. But you know what? This small additional detail officially makes me smile. TSA spokeswoman Kirsten Lee says there are only 240 incidents in the database, which started in 2007, and most of them deal with issues between TSA employees. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll get some background on this weekend's Fly-In Music Jam at Kerrville, Texas, put on by the Flying Musicians Association, from founders and directors Eileen Hummel and John Zapp. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.